a very good Thursday, race fans. Series 219, XM 201, SportsZone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebeck.com. And I think as you listen to hour three, if you were listening to the replay and you roll right into the morning show, the new show, I may have put the kibosh on the end of winter, considering it's only January 12th. As I look outside, we're getting snow here. So now I'm really getting anxious to to head to Florida or wherever. Yeah, I took the garbage out and I could feel that there was a little gritty snowish kind of. But I looked up and it wasn't snowing per se. But now, and I don't recall any advance warning about this. So anyway, it's January in upstate New York. What should I expect? It could be worse. It could be what went on in Buffalo, right? A couple of things to get going this morning. And as you could tell from yesterday when Tony moved up, Sid Fernando is going to join us. And we're now three of the 4 days through the sale, and it's gone well. So we'll get some thoughts. Sid was there for the first 2 days and then flew back yesterday. He said he just lost a couple of hours, I guess, on the there was one wherever he whatever the first stop was on his way back to Tampa. What did he say? Did he say Atlanta? Yeah, so yesterday's weird computer glitch delay that snarled traffic for a period. But he's back, and we'll catch up with Sid and get his thoughts. And we can also, there's been a handful of headlines for us on the pedigree front. I had a conversation that I tipped my hand about with yesterday, that Jack Wolf is going to join us today. And Jack is in Australia. So the timing was just too awkward in terms of live, even though we do, we have those conversations, for instance, with Kevin. With Kev Humphreys, the long shot lad, it's a little easier for Kev to be up at crazy. Let's see, because right now, what do we got? We're 9 o'clock, and they're 16 hours ahead. So 9 p.m. plus four, so it's 1:03, give or take, in Australia right now. So I had a conversation yesterday with Jack, and it'll be fun. Touch on the sham result with the horses that he is partnered in, the Starlight Group, along with Matticat and SF, and then some other partners. And in the case of the winner, that Reincarnate Saturday, Bat Masterson is in, and so is Stone Street. There's slight. It's funny. I, in advance of the visit with Jack, I wanted to go look and take a glance at the inventory, and it's this kind of gets back to that conversation with Andy the other day on Tuesday about how difficult it is to monitor, to keep track of an owner, prominent owners, and their, connections to multiple horses. I mean, it's gotten more and more complicated. And Starlight had other partners here and there, but, now you look at if you go to Equibase, for instance, and you hit partnerships, it's just insane. there's probably 25 different assortment of owners, and if there's, you know, let's say SF and Starlight and Matiket as the base, and then any other combination of owners involved, it goes careening from there. And of course, West Point is, you know, starting to do some of that. And you'll hear Jack actually refers to what, you know, seems to be, you know, the trending direction on this. And we've been discussing it, you know, first from a standpoint of, two sets of prominent owners, like a Vinnie Viola and a Mike Rapoli, and then, you know, what has happened subsequently, and that includes, you know, this Stallion Group that Brad Weisbord and Liz Crow, you know, the cult group that they've put together, and Jack addresses that. I think you'll enjoy it. The reason that he's over there too, you're going to hear next weekend, the Magic Millions, you know, there's the sale, and then there is a pair of races. There's the Classic. What is it? The Classic and the Sprint? Classic, and I mean, the Classic is actually 1200, so I actually saved this somewhere. There's the Classic, and I want to say there's the Classic and a Sprint are the two Magic Millions races, and Jack's involved, Starlight is involved with three horses, including two of the choices that are prominent, Sovereign Fund in there, and Empire of Japan, and then a third horse, Royal Entrance. So we'll kind of look ahead to that. I'm sure it's something that if I reached out for Steve Anderson on next week, Steve will have undoubtedly have a view of it and interest in it. So you'll hear from Jack Wolf today. Got a nice full segment with Jack. We've got, as mentioned, Sid back from the first 2 days of the sale. So we'll do Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. We're expecting a Clancy. We're expecting one or the other. Maybe both. No, one or the other. I want to get to Rich Eng. We got to get to Rich today. I'm pretty sure I saw some people commenting on their copies of Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies. So we'll have that visit and see how Rich is faring here a couple of weeks in to the Santa Anita season. And we may, I'm still waiting for an official answer. I reached out yesterday to Alan Foreman because in the wake of that portion of that conversation with Andy on Tuesday, I thought it might be worthwhile to get Alan's view of the paper trainer, quote unquote, conundrum. Is conundrum the right? Is that what it is? It's a annoyance, a frustration, an awkward and an unpleasantry. However you want to characterize it. And it obviously not a new phenomena, to say the least, but I'm just curious how Alan views and how the due process portion of that plays out. Also got to look ahead to the weekend. Looking back at yesterday for a second, too. Excuse me, ended up that sequence at Tampa that we looked at with Seth ended up being very squirrely if you took part. And in fact, the whole card yesterday was productive. I mean, assuming you sniffed out a few of the prices, and it, like it it wasn't easy even getting to the end of that sequence yesterday. And then you had a 17-1 shot for Moisey Yanez and Del Sol Farm. 17-1. Vintner paid 36-40 with Ron Allen, and that helped produce. I mean, there were a couple of other decent prices actually in that eighth. John Arnett had an 8-1 winner, wire to wire under Jose Ferrar. There was one favorite in that sequence. That was the Jose Delgado winner. And 3-2, and flat out cool even in the first leg, who blew out at 5-1. The flat out cool Mario Laurito, owner Israel Chavez, with a flat out mare, won off by half a dozen at 5-1. So anyway, your late action, your late results. The pick four paid $1,656, 50-cent pick four. 1656, and the late pick five, the early pick five paid 4,000, and so did the late. The late paid, in fact, looking at that sequence, well, you did have two heavy favorites. You had a 3-5 win the first leg, which was also the last leg of the early, the fifth race, Poseidon's Passion, Jim Gulick, owner Gene Martin. This is actually a horse that Gulick bred, and Poseidon's Warrior, Mayfold mare, and she won under Gallardo at 3-5, and that triggered a $4,100 payout, and Vintner at the end of the late pick five, $4,167. So some robust returns yesterday. And actually, since we're in this mode, over on the Gulfstream side of things, where, it was really kind of some shorter fields, and it played out pretty chalky. I mean, the, pick five paid 350 and the late pick four, 150. So, of the two choices yesterday, Gulfstream or Tampa, felt like Tampa was, you know, a little bit more productive, or at least lucrative. Put it that way, right? Seth did not, other than the. The favorite, he did not find pay dirt, as we say. So that was yesterday on the ovals. Weekend ahead, and I'm looking to see if Alan's going to join us. I very well may, if Alan can't join us in the first hour, we'll bring in Jack Wolf. We'll do the Jack Wolf piece with you. The weekend is quietish. It is not, you know, a major weekend, but if you happen to look ahead at the cards, that sequence at Tampa with the Pasco, the Gasparilla, and the Wayward Lass, and of course, the fifth season came up the other day when Robertino Diodoro visited, and he's got Soy Tapatio. The card at Oaklawn looks good, and let's hope, you know, this is always mid-January from now until about Valentine's Day. This is the danger zone in Oaklawn. The worst weather of the winter besets the mountains, and if there's going to be some frozen racetrack and any issues, it usually comes right about now for the next few weeks. So let's keep tabs there. But the fifth season, the feature, and some good races around it. They'll run the Nellie Menard at Fairgrounds. on Saturday, and that drew a full turf field of eight. You know, they're knock on wood. I haven't heard any. That's a good point. I haven't heard any. Maybe we'll talk to Marcus. We'll certainly talk to Marcus next week when we gets the LeCompte week. But haven't heard any problems. Feels like the turf issue at Fairgrounds. Knock on wood. Is that behind everybody? But the Menard drew a nice field of eight. Brad Cox with and Brendan Walsh, Astute, and Violenza. And also over the Chris Block, too. We've talked about over with Block. So the Menard, and I did not look yet to see if what they're offering when it comes to Saturday's Coast to Coast. We'll try to negotiate that one. Got beat in the last leg on Saturday, which was too bad. I mean, it wasn't the horse that we were live to that got beat on the wire. It wasn't paying. I think it was 250, 260. It wasn't like we, you know, missed out on a four-figure score. But the La Cañada on Saturday at Santa Anita, and six-horse field with some familiar types, including Baffert's got Ganadora from the Chews with Johnny, and they're Smooth Like Butter, Steve Knapp. Baffert's also got Under the Stars for Coolmore, Patty Gallagher, Angel Natishko with Victor, Kirsten Bach, John Sadler with Kaz Kimura, and Natural Color Manny Badia with Flavian Pratt. So the Grade 3 La Cañada. I don't think there's a stake. I was looking at the stakes calendar yesterday. I don't think there's a stake Sunday at Santa Anita, and same is true, at Gulfstream. Gulfstream's got a couple of Sunshine Remnants, Sunshine Filly and Mare Turf, going a mile, and then the Sunshine Sprint for the boys. Both, of course, Florida-bred events, 9 and 7, respectively, in the 9th and 10th. So I'm sure they'll craft a nice five-race sequence for the coast-to-coast dollar with a carryover provision, and paid $1,000 with that upsetter in the nightcap on Saturday, and it paid $15,000 on Sunday. And in fact, on that topic, I believe, I want to say, let me take a quick glance and take a look at the, I know I've got the charts, but it's probably easier just to pull this up than go digging on the desk. I'm curious about the pool size. I think the pool has been sizable. The Sunday, was this Saturday? Yeah, I think that Wild Grazer was the last leg. Yeah, here it is. The $1 pick five, $15,200. The pool was $179,000 on Sunday. And Saturday, I think it was over. I thought I saw that it was over $200 on Saturday. There were three Gulfstream races on Sunday, two on Saturday, and three at Santa Anita. So where is that? Where was that harrowing beat in that last leg? That was, I won't say that I'm a glutton for punishment, but I had to bring up. I knew if I brought up that pick six from Saturday, he would tee off. Sometimes Let me. Alan Foreman's reaching out to me. There we go. How's, I think, 11 o'clock for Alan. Yeah, 11 o'clock for Alan Foreman. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate it. And we'll actually, we'll get a couple of, we can get a couple of topics in with Alan. But here we go. On Saturday, grazed my heart. Yeah, the pool, that's interesting. The pool on Saturday, and part of it is, you know, Saturday handle is just better than Sunday handle, always, but 464,000 it handled, and it's on Saturday. That's a for a, you know, first day of a new bet, that's a strong number. Yeah, pretty good. Paid $1,017 with grazed my heart, nailing sell the dream on the wire. That was tough. I grazed my heart was my fourth horse, and I had, you know, one topic. This actually would be a good. I could, you know what? I'll do this with Rich Ang today later. How about that? Third hour. The ticket that I put together, and truthfully, you know, having played the pick six on Saturday and hitting in New York, and you know, 1500 for the ticket, and then another 100 in five of six. I mean, I suppose I could have reached a little deeper and spent a little bit more, but the sequence actually wasn't over yet, so it wasn't like I knew I was winning. But it got off to a good start, and I felt good about the direction that pick six was going. The question, and you see the way I structure, you know, the main tickets with the A's and the B's, and then I, you know, that's like the main play, and that's typically what I play. And then we do the all A's, which is for the budget conscious type of player. And sometimes I'll play those, and other times, you know, not only will it, you'll play the A and B ticket, but then you'll press with the A, you know, the all A's. And so you might have it for a dollar. You might have it for $1.50. Nobody's better at that than Nick Tamaro. Nick is fabulous at staggering the, you know, the wager levels. I got to that last leg, and again, it's on my desk here, but let me go to the let's go to the videotape. Let's go to the Warner Wolf, and something tells me I'm going to need a new charger for the Mac, because it's you want to talk about planned obsolescence. They you know, they charge you $80 for the thing, and it you know, you would think they would you would think that they understand fully what area needs to be reinforced, what area in these chargers, what area goes first. Case, am I right? Am I right? They know that you know, connector, where the connection plugs into the computer, they know that neck is the vulnerable area, you know, and yet it's unbelievable. Yeah, Casey says three times a year. This one has lasted. I can't complain that much, but they're $75 or $80, and I would pay $90 if you gave me a reinforced, you know, plastic sleeve that, you know, made that end less vulnerable. This, all of a sudden, you know, the connection starts to waver, and you look up, and the computer's about to die because it's been plugged in for however long, and it hasn't been charging. Like, oh, how about that? Overnight, that's the worst. You wake up, and you know, you start your day, and you look down at your phone or the and the thing didn't charge overnight. and you want to just scream. Tina got the coolest thing. I should put a picture up. I told you this. She got a thing. She puts the phone into it, and it's got the ambient charge. And then she puts her phone. She got one of these Apple phones. And she loves the Apple phone. She loves the phone. I mean, it's crazy. She's like Dick Tracy with the two-way wrist radio. Remember when we were kids and you read Dick Tracy? My father loved Dick Tracy and Mary Worth and Apartment 3G. And Terry and the Pirates. You remember when we were kids and there'd be 35 comics to really read and that you'd follow? Those were the days. And then, of course, there's the great the if you've never seen the Tim Oliphant screed about Family Circle in the movie Go, Sarah Polley's just unbelievable. As if we don't love Tim Oliphant enough. His riff on the Family Circle down in the corner just waiting to suck is about as funny a few minutes as there is on screen. He is so good. So now I'm totally straight here with what direction we went. I was talking about the Charger. No, the pick six, the pick five on Saturday, and I just want to scroll down to it because I thought I was going to hit this, and even though it was just a little under 300, I thought, all right, this is okay. I used Sell the Dream and Carole Lombard. Then I liked Cast Member and Grazed My Heart, and one mistake that Sunshine Millions Turf Sprint Down the Hill looked really squirrely, and I picked Eddie's New Dream, who is a horse that's one of those horses that just doesn't want to win. And so I used Eddie's New Dream and Big Summer, and then I went a third deep with Alice Marble. So two horses, Carole Lombard and Alice Marble, of Nick of Nick Alexander's. And I ended up backing up with two other horses, and I didn't need to. I wasted $24 on a backup ticket when Eddie's New Dream and Big Summer would have been enough. And okay, Alice Marble. So my point is, I would have been better off in that Cal Cup Oaks, having that be the place where I backed up. So what would it have cost? It would have been one by two by three, six by 12, by another two. So another $24 to win 1,000. So that's the backup. I've been hitting with plenty of backup tickets. In fact, opening weekend, what was it? Yeah, it was New Year's weekend. I hit a backup ticket for 1,200, and so it's a question of how and you anybody that has followed me for any period, you know that I would much rather spend a little less and win more. I'm not It's not my inclination to reach deep, and that's not to. That's not to, take a shot at anybody that puts in these much bigger tickets. But I pick fours and pick fives. I mean, I'm not spending $400, $388. I'm not doing that. I just and maybe I'm being foolhardy. And if I add up, I mean, certainly during that run from, let's say, August, September, October, if I added up what I lost, what I without period of not hitting, maybe I would have been better off, dialing, playing a few less plays and doubling up the, you know, because I spend on pick fives, typically 72 with backups, you know, 108 up a little, you know, up into the 130 sometimes, as much as, yeah, I guess as much as 144 in that 150 range. So I'm going to survey some people. We're going to, that'd be a good discussion tomorrow too. I mean, we don't have a tremendous amount of handicapping to do for tomorrow. I mean, there'll be some spots for the weekend, but that's what we'll do. We'll take a survey on, with all the players, you know, with Scully and Schaap and Marcus and everybody else that circles through. Hammer. Well, you know, Hammer. Hammer's not afraid to spread. Hammer is not afraid to spread that way. He's an all-button utilizer. We're going to utilize our conversation with Jack Wolf, and Jack will take us up to the top of the hour when Sid Fernando joins us. We got a Clancy visit at 10:30, and Alan Foreman at 11, as well as Rich Eng. So there's the layout. I'm going to sit back and listen and pretend that I'm interviewing Jack, but it happened about, I don't know, when was it, Case? 4:30 yesterday? Yeah. Here's Jack Wolf from Starlight. By Jack Wolf, Starlight, of course, and an unusual circumstance that finds him in Australia. And we think of Jack having plenty of far-flung interest. This is about as far-flung, Jack, as it gets. Happy New Year. Congratulations on the big sham result.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. It's always good to be on. And it was. It was. It wasn't really the horse I thought was going to win, but I'll take anything.
Well, there's actually several parts that of a conversation that we could have even before we get to the Australia portion of what's going on and why you're down under, literally. The move, Jack, to becoming, you know, part of this group with SF and with Matticat, in this particular, in the winter, actually, in Reincarnate, Bob Masterson's involved and Stone Street, but the base, the last several years, the quote-unquote Avenger group, principally you and SF and Matticat, talk about it, because it feels like a formula that really, you know, that is working.
It's funny. You mentioned the Avengers, and I don't keep up with that stuff, but the guys call me Thor, and I've never even seen the thing, and we were at a function, two, 3 days ago down here, and I got my picture taken with Thor. So that was my daughter's highlight of the trip, anyway. But getting back to what you were referring to, you know, Tom approached me, Tom Ryan, who's basically the managing partner for SF and, you know, working with Starlight and Matticat, and you mentioned Bat Masterson, Stone Street. They're all great people to work with and love the game and all that. But I want to say we started 4 or 5 years ago with the concept of just pooling the money and going out there and trying to buy as many good horses as we can under a given budget. And the first year we had Frankie Brothers and actually Henry Field was up also, and then had Donato, and Corbin Blumberg had just started working with me too, so he's got a good eye for the horses. So anyway, we started up, and now it looks like there's a number of outfits copycatting, so I guess we're doing something right. We're being copied, you know? So
how would you characterize the change in approach and philosophy, how it's evolved for Starlight, and then, you know, how you merchandised it to the partners, and how different is the makeup of the group, of your group, than, you know, than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
Yeah, that's a good question. It all started 22 years ago, I guess, with just Lori and myself going out and started, I think, the first crop we bought. We bought 7 yearlings, and one of the yearlings was Harlan's Holiday, so he took care of a lot of mistakes. But we just started out on our own, and after about 3 or 4 years down the road, we realized the capital risk and the need to probably average paying a little bit more for the horses. So I'd say the first 9 or 10 years, we would go to the yearling sales, the 3 main yearling sales. And through the first three or four years, we were trying to average, I don't know, maybe buying 12 to 14 horses, averaging about 150. And actually it was working for a while. And then following that, and the average price seemed to keep creeping up to where we were probably averaging, I don't know, 300 a horse for 12 to 14 horses. And then we had a couple of dry years there, and then we hooked up with Tom over at SF, and that model will buy at an average of about 500 per horse. And with all the different partners, we'll spend about $12 million. But and as far as Starlight is concerned, it's grown from, like I said, just Lori and me to 12 partners. That most of them have been in the thing probably 15 years or so. But that's sort of a snapshot of Starlight through the years and where we are now.
Well, and when you look at the kinds of horses that you found yourself involved in with this approach, I mean, I suppose Audible was the first thing we did
with Tom and SF is we leased the racing rights off of them on Audible, and then the following year we started buying the breeding and racing rights of all the horses, which the first year we did it, we had 3 stallion prospects. It was sort of crazy, the results that we had that first year. So but this year our 2-year-olds have just turned 3. We've got a couple of real good ones with Todd Pletcher that have either broken their maiden. One of them is actually won a stake, bat flip. And then we've got, we had 10 or 12 with Bob that have already broken their maiden. And then the one that won the Sham the other day, and we've run 2nd and 3rd and 1 or 2 of the other races. So, we're off to a great start with this crop.
Well, you think about, you also think about, I suppose, Authentic, right? Authentic should be included in this. And we've been talking a lot, actually, Jack, about Charlatan going back to the November sale and how well received, what the interest was in his weanlings, and then also in the mares that he's gotten in foal. There's really been a parade of these horses, most notably the ones that most recently came through the Baffert operation. And then when you look at a chart like Saturday with Reincarnate, Newgate, and National Treasure, finishing 1, 2, 3, it's obviously going to be exciting, and Baffert will, he kind of plays it seat of his pants when it comes to moving them around and the timing. But obviously, you come out of this, with points and with the kind of excitement toward the Derby Trail that you and the partners hope for.
Yeah, and then the elephant in the room is, Bob's situation as far as what's he going to be able to do or not do. I'd love to see not that I have any inclination that it'll happen, but I'd love to see, you know, he and Churchill figure a way to get the past issues behind them. But I really have no clue at this point how that's going to work out. It looks like it's going to be probably the same way as it was, you know, last year. But I wish they could work things out. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, in the meantime, this is certainly this horse a good magic out of a Scat Daddy mare, and Woods Edge Farm bred. National Treasure came in as the horse to beat. And, you know, coming out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, where he ran a good third behind Forte and Cave Rock, and then Reincarnate, Newgate, we should say, it felt like the horse, if it wasn't going to be National Treasure, it felt like Newgate was the one. At least, you know, I rely on Andy Harrington in terms of the West Coast Workout Report, and he made it feel like Newgate was on the upswing, and he ran a great race, I thought, and it just Reincarnate was not going to let him by, Jack. I mean, that that was interesting. He just, in fact, the way that race finished was a lot like the way the Jerome finished, where, you know, where it became pretty clear that Lugan Knight wasn't going to let Linda Rice's horse by.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, it looked like Frankie Dettori was saying something to the other rider, almost like, well, here, I'm getting ready to pass in. Obviously, he never did. But the National Treasure horse, he got that nicely. And like we said at the beginning, I mean, all three of those horses are very nice. And then, you know, the next big race, we've got this Carmel Road and Fort Bragg. They've ran second and third in the Los Al Futurity. And then we got a horse named Jackstown that looks like he might be good. And we got Fort Warren. And then the horses I mentioned with Todd, Batflip, and the filly that the girls have got is really a nice filly. I don't know if you remember her, Saratoga Plank. She broke her maiden very impressively. Ran a 90 by, and then we had to stop on her. And she'll see action probably in middle of March or April, something like that.
Nice. Got to get moving. That's an Into Mischief.
Yeah, well, that horse, you know, you can get the best mares to the best stallions, and voila, here you go. You know, that's part of the Tom Ryan's approach too. If you notice the type of horses that he and Donato are buying now are by made stallions, although we did take them. Shot at the good magic there, and it looks like it might have worked out. So
yeah,
but
not only does it work out for you, but for Donato and his association with Hillendale, John Secure has got to be happy with that result too on Saturday.
That horse is throwing some runners. Yeah,
yeah.
Got to be happy with that one.
Big
yeah.
time, and of course, third in the finished third or second? Second, I think, in the behind Bolt Doro in the freshman sire ranks. Well, Jack, beside all these 3-year olds, some older. What'd you bring back for older horses? Looking ahead. Well, I got to ask. I want to ask about Messier, because Messier's a favorite, and he's, you know, after the bleeding incident at Keeneland, it feels like you got a kind of a struggle on your hands.
Yeah, and I don't know what Bob plans on doing with that horse. Obviously, he didn't run any good in the 7/8 mile race the other day, and we had high hopes, obviously, for him as a 3-year-old, and was really excited when we had him entered over there at Keeneland, and then ended up bleeding first time he's ever bled.
Yep.
He didn't bleed in the last race, but he surely didn't run any good. But question mark on that one. Who else we got out there, Steve? You tell me.
Some of the last year's Baffert types, like Doppelganger, right, was one of those, and Armagnac.
Yeah, he's still out there, and let me see where we probably are going to run these horses. Hold on.
I should also ask you about a horse that I know Baffert liked. I remember, who's got to be now a 5-year-old, Classier, was a horse that just feels like just has either had bad luck or just can't get can't stay healthy or.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a good horse too.
Yeah,
but he had some issues, and there we are.
Well, that happened.
I guess we're. For 3-year-old experts.
<There's, that's, laughs> you're gonna rely on those. Well, and actually, Classier at least is working and he ran last week, did not run well. His last stake try was Del Mar and the Pat O'Brien, and it looks like he's kind of been backed up for some allowance tries. So he's still out there pitching. The 3-year-olds are—they're always the engine on the train, Jack.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do: find the 2-turn dirt horses that can stay in one piece through the 3-year-old year, and hopefully be around for 4-year-olds. But the name of the game, as you well know, is trying to get these 3-year-olds going. So.
Wow. Let me do one thing before we talk about Australia, because I do want you to tell everybody about all the things that you're doing there. We should make mention, while I was on vacation between Christmas and New Year, word came that Frankie Brothers was going to officially retire after just a brilliant career in on the training side and then the bloodstock side, and so instrumental, Jack, for you for so many years.
Yeah, actually, Tom, Ron, we were over your Magic Million shows yesterday, and we were talking about Frankie and how important he has been to, Starlight. And Tom even said the industry ought to do something to recognize him. I mean, you look at his training career and the bloodstock work he'd done, working with Keeneland, inspecting all the yearlings and stuff, and just a real talented gentleman, real gentleman, and I hate to see him, decide to retire, but it was totally up to him, and he just felt it was the right time, so we'll be... Looks like we'll be using Corbin, and hopefully we're in some talks with Donato right now to help us in that area too. But we really haven't ironed out anything in that area. But kudos to Frankie Brothers for sure.
Jack Wolf with us. He's in Australia and looking ahead beyond even the Magic Million sale, the big race next week, and. You're involved on that front. Talk about the Australian, and we're hearing more and more outfits. Kenny McPeak has gone down. Kip Elser has gone down as well. Talk about the interest level and how you got started with Australia and what the hopes are for next week.
Yeah, the economics of this Australian market unbelievable. It's I forget, they advertise how many $1 million races they have a year. I forget what it is, but the purses are unbelievable. And just like this Magic Millions, if you buy a horse at the Magic Millions sale, they have this race the following year for $2 million. And the job that Henry Field's done down here is in. I met him through SF and Tom Ryan and Gavin Murphy, and they have a Newgate Farm down here, and their model is very similar to what we're doing over there with in the U.S. with SF, but I mean, I was telling you before we got on the air, we've got three horses. Two of them are the top two favorites in this race, the Magic Millions race on Saturday. So pull for Empire Japan, Sovereign Fund, and Royal Entrance. Those are our three big horses.
Run them down again.
Empire of Japan. He's by Snitzel, you know, big stallion down here.
Yeah.
Sovereign Fund, who's by Capitalist, who Newgate stands and really started their operation a number of years ago. I was offered to be in that particular partnership and decided not to, but that was a miss on my part. And then Royal Entrance is by Snitzel also. And we've, same thing, we've got, you know, the best trainers. We got Gay Waterhouse, you've heard of her,
of course.
And Peter and Paul Snowden. And we've actually got James McDonald on Empire of Japan. And, you know, Peter and Paul Snowden train that one too. So it's sort of like having Todd Pletcher and Johnny Velasquez or Bob Baffert and Johnny Velasquez, but it's really a cool model.
Have some of the partners come over for the race?
Do you know Lance and Robbins?
I know Lance very well. Yeah.
And Case Clay is over. I saw him at the sale yesterday. Obviously, all the SF people, Gavin Murphy and Tom Ryan, you know, Teo is the big money guy behind this operation, and he's had a lot of success. All the horses run in his colors, and he seems like a real cool guy too. But I haven't seen Kenny, and I haven't seen who else. Kip, did you say Kip was down here?
I know he comes. I don't know if they're coming this year, but I know that, you know, the Kip has come the last couple of years, and Kenny, you know, Kenny, he'll go anywhere. He's the Indiana Jones of sales.
Well, he's got a heck of an eye for a horse, that's for sure.
Well, as you know, and as you've taken advantage of. Well, Empire of Japan is going to wear the four silk and drew the 11 barrier in the draw, and Sovereign Fund is the two and drew the 17, which could be tricky, and Royal Entrance is going to wear the five and leave from the nine. That's the horse with Gay Waterhouse, and the Snowdens have Empire of Japan and Sovereign Fund. But Jack, this is exciting. Next Saturday, which would be Friday, I'll make sure to give everybody the timing so that they can tune in on Friday. Probably it's 16 hours. So
yeah,
back up.
Yeah, 16 hours. Yeah, you look it up. It's let's see. Well, the Magic Millions race is the seventh race on. It'll be Friday night in the States.
Yes.
At 12:25 a.m.
There you go. Not so bad. That's 3:25 Australia time.
Right.
So on the West Coast, won't be difficult for the West Coasters to tune in. It's 1,200. It's a 1,200 meter. So three quarters. And
I was looking on the track record. They're saying is 108 and two or three fifths, something like that, which is really moving. I was also looking at how these barriers, they had a thing that since 2020, it's like 80% of the horses that have won have come from like five and in. I don't know if it's that high, but it's impressive of how difficult it is if you're in one of those outside barriers, you know, like this Sovereign Fund and the 17. It's, according to the locals, it's tough to win from out there.
Well, this is it for those that are also curious about the circuit. This is at Gold Coast Racecourse in Queensland.
Right, right. It's a beautiful place, like a beautiful beach. Actually, when they did the barrier draw, either yesterday or the day before, I guess it was the day before, they had all the horses out here galloping down the beach. Actually, two of them threw the riders and
went in the water.
Took a stroll down the highway, but nobody got hurt, so that was good.
Well, I'm looking at a picture, Jack. I mean, you couldn't tell that this wasn't Gulfstream. This must be the Gulfstream of Queensland.
I mean, it is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. So,
and we left at a good time. I think we left that Wednesday before Christmas, and when all the cold came in on that Thursday, so if we would have been traveling on that Thursday, we wouldn't have. They had all kinds of cancellations, so we were lucky to get down here.
Well, Jack, that's you. I mean, you're, you know.
No. I'd rather be lucky than good.
There's never a straw in your path, Jack.
are you knocking on wood somewhere? I can't find any wood in this.
The greatest. The only thing that you're going to be missing probably is Lee Einsiedler in the box next to you, and Randy Hill and the Reeves in the box in front of you.
Yeah, that's a fun bunch of guys that I've been trying to get Lee to buy a horse with us for years, and I just can't get him over the top.
He's you're Jack Wolf, and he's a lone wolf.
He's a lone wolf.
For the most part. Well, Jack, I'm delighted. Delighted, obviously, for the success Saturday at Santa Anita, and I expect to see you. I'll be out there for the Big Cap San Felipe Day, and then back for the Santa Anita Derby, and I'll also probably see you in Florida. But get lucky next week, and it's exciting to have an American interest like this in the Magic Millions.
Well, Steve, thanks for calling, and I appreciate the time. Good luck.
Always great. Jack Wolf, everybody, Starlight, and they have been just a consistent, stalwart operation for, as Jack said, it's over 20 years, starlightracing.com, and Jack and Lori, and you know, he mentioned some of the other partners, our friend Lansden Robbins, who have known basically that time, 20 years, and good group of people that have, you know, really kind of hit on a formula. So great to connect with Jack. I didn't realize when I reached out to him, it's Thursday that we're listening to this. I taped this with Jack Wednesday evening, and because you know the timing issue is kind of wacky. He said, we're at Magic Millions, and I just thought he meant the sale. But beyond that, three horses: Empire of Japan, Sovereign Fund, and Royal Entrance, next week at Gold Coast in the rich Magic Millions. All right, let's take a timeout, and I think we're at the top of an hour, I'm guessing. If not, it might be a bottom of the hour. Either way, we'll be right back. Jack Wolf, Starlight Racing. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide.
Happy to be joined by
Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you,